Welcome to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. Dr. Williams is the author of the acclaimed book, Shattered by the Darkness, Putting the Pieces Back Together After Child Abuse. Dr. Williams is on the senior leadership team at Baylor College of Medicine in Houston, Texas. And Dr. Williams travels the United States speaking and training professionals, parents, and victims about the importance of dealing with abuse and personal trauma head on and not being afraid to break the silence of your own personal pain. Feel free to call in to tonight's show at 888-627-6008 and speak with Dr. Williams and his guests live on air. And now, your host, Dr. Williams.
Well, good evening and welcome to live from Houston, Texas, the most beautiful city in the world. It's great to have you with us tonight with Breaking the Silence. I want to let you know, to be honest with you, we are making history. I want you to see this. 30 degrees in Houston and it's snowing flurries here right outside my balcony. And so you may be able to see that. I don't know if you can or not with all the glare from the lights or everything, but it is just starting to drop some snow a little bit. Flurries are coming in, and it's going to be about 18 degrees when I wake up in the morning. So it's crazy for Houston, Texas. If you don't understand, this is like something that we're just not accustomed to. This is unique, but you get to experience wherever you are in the world. And I need to turn my fireplace on and warm up the room a little bit. It's getting chilly. We have an awesome program tonight. I want to let you know, I was looking through the TV guide on the Xfinity Network. There's nothing on TV that you can't record, that you can't just be here live tonight with us, because we have an unbelievable program, and it's going to be filled with information for you. It's going to be filled with stories for you. It's going to be filled with passion for you, and it's going to just kind of kick off a Valentine's Day of an evening of maybe learning how to love ourselves a little bit better. That in turn will help us love other people, or maybe, and this I'm talking to myself now, so I'm preaching to the choir, maybe to open ourselves up to allow people to come back into our life because we put a fence up. So tonight you're really going to be learning some wonderful things. Grab a piece of paper. And I've always said from the day one since we started this about a year and a half ago that if you invest an hour of your time, I promise you that at the end of that hour you will have some tools and a few tips or tricks or techniques or information that you'll be able to use in your own life, maybe somebody in your family or somebody in your friends. Life. So be ready to write some things down. Next couple of weeks, we have some great, great guests. I want to let you know about it. Next week is Dr. Jennifer Jacobs and Jessica Stern with the Connect Our Kids program. And that's all a foster care program. And the work that they do is just unbelievable, bringing families together. So that's going to be next week. And then the last Sunday night of February, we have Adrienne Ruan. Or Ruan, I'm not for sure which one it is, but she is a domestic abuse trauma recovery specialist from San Diego, California, and she's a TEDx speaker and just one of the most well-known trauma experts and speakers in the country. So I'm anxious to have her on. And I don't know if I want to do a TEDx or not, but I think it'd be kind of fun to give it a shot. But maybe one day we will. But she's going to tell us what that experience was all about and what she does. But most importantly, tonight, if you want to get involved, 888-627-6008. And we have a guest this evening that I want to welcome to the program, Cindy Stanford. And she is the president of ACEs Matter. And from day one in her life, she was dealing with adversities, ACEs. And ACEs Matter is a part of her heart that I want her to share with you tonight. And it became her mission about a year ago, maybe a little less than a year ago. And I was on her program, I believe, last week. Everything runs together with me, but I did several last week. I believe I was on her program last week, and just love her program, her platform, and the people that I got to meet while I was on that interview. Just wonderful. She is a Texas native, a former public school educator, and she's passionate about empowering Title I schools with research-backed practices that aid in nurturing the neurons. See how deep this is? The neurons of students and educators that have been affected by this word, ACEs. And we've been talking about ACEs for a long time, and I know I can't get enough of it because the research just keeps coming on more and more and more. So I want to welcome to the program tonight, Cindy Stanford. Cindy, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Hey, good. Good to see you, and welcome.
Welcome. Thank you for having me.
And where are you located at right now?
I am currently located in this town called Winter Park, Florida. It is neighbors to Orlando, Florida, Disney capital, obviously. So,
okay. Now, my mom, I believe, lived in Winter Park. Is that the same place?
Or yeah. No, there's Winter Park. So we're in Winter Park. We've been here almost, it'll be 2 years this year we've been in Florida. So we only gotten rain. We hadn't seen any snow come this way, because if we did, I'd probably be worried. But we've only gotten a lot of unexpected rain that has graced our grass in the last couple of days. So yeah, Winter Park, Florida, not too far from Orlando. I think we're about 45 minutes away from the Disney park, the Disney theme parks.
Yeah, I think my mom lived there in Winter Haven, maybe.
There's
Winter Haven is right by Legoland.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah. Well, good to have you with us tonight. I just kind of want to just kind of relax. This is Valentine's Day, and it's the evening of, and we just have some people that's listening and they're around the world. And I just want, Cindy, you kind of just tell me, number one, a little bit about you, a little bit about what you're doing, and then what gets you up every morning to face the world? What are you passionate about? What do you lean into now and just can't get enough of? So just tell everybody who you are and what you do right now.
Greg, I'm speaking from the heart tonight. I'm a teacher by heart. So normally we have a lesson plan where when they say this, we're going to say that. I didn't do that for you tonight because you brought it and my people loved you when you came on the show a couple weeks ago. So I'm going to say I am a ACE survivor. I am an ACE overcomer, as my current teacher would say. I'm in this program called ACE Overcomer. So I'm going through an ACE executive trainer certification. So I'm an ACE overcomer. I like to say that first. By understanding ACEs, it actually helped me reveal some superpowers that I have. And so with me now knowing that, hey, some bad things happened to you growing up as a child that you had no idea that later on in life you were going to look back and say, wow, those were some bad things that happened to you. So for me, what has happened now is I've been able to take those, what we call adversities that happened to me in my childhood, and I'm able to share those gifts via my nonprofit, which is ACEs Matter, which I started back in May of 2020. So the pandemic gave me some room to breathe, to try to figure out how in the world can I use these things that happened to me to try to do God's work, if you will, right? Mm. Just right here. So that's kind of like what 2020 did for me. I didn't ask for it. It kind of just showed up that way. So I'm using my gifts, both the gifts of like what happened to me, like once I was able to leave the place that gave me all of my ACEs to where I am now here in Winter Park, established the business of ACEs Matter and an accumulation of events that have happened since my childhood. One I think that's most important is that I was able to leave my childhood and go to college, become a school teacher. In a Title I school, become a trainer for the district in Title I predominantly dominated district. And then from that point, been able to become a school principal, selected, tapped on the shoulder, become a school principal. It was never a part of Cindy's plan. I never wrote that down. I never had a desire to become a school principal or be in charge of people for that matter. but they say you tell God what your plans are, and you know, kind of like there's a joke. So that led me here, Greg. But so I missed the last question. I'm sorry. I was going to write it down, but I didn't.
No, I think we're okay. I really want. You mentioned in your bio, and this is what you mentioned, so I'm assuming it's free for me to throw out. We do not have pre-designed questions. You were affected with adversity from day one. Okay. Now, could we even back that up? Could there be, while you were in the womb, your mother experienced adversity that would cause impact on you while you were being developed inside of your mama? Is that a story too that may not have been out yet?
Yes. I don't want to speak out of turn, but based on the recollection of what my mom has shared with me during the time that she was pregnant, I would say the first adversity, now this is not like a textbook adversity. I was supposed to come on 7/7/77. That would have been my birth date. But she said I was so stubborn, which became the life of me, that as I was on the elevator, this is the story I recall, that she tried to hold me in because she really wanted a 7/7/77 baby, 1977 baby, right? But for whatever reason, I came out on 7/6, and I started coming out in the elevator. So there began like, oh, you know, I wanted to be all sevens, but that wasn't what the plan was. So, but scientifically speaking, my ACEs started the day that I was born. What I have tried to use on my platform is to share with people that when we don't know what's happening, what ends up evolving is ACEs are creating ACEs. So my dad and my mom, you know, formed this lovely matrimony, fell in love, blah, 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 blah. But, you know, back then in the like 70s is when I was consumed, there was probably not an awareness of like the science of like, hey, is it possible that your genealogy might pass down and, you know, be planted as a seed into Cindy's mom, and then the stress that Cindy's mom is already under may just kind of like offset, and then you're going to be carrying her in this womb where she's going to be ready to say like, I ain't trying to wait for one more day to come out, I want to come out right now. Maybe that's why I didn't come out on 7/7. But I would say absence of like knowing the science back then, like my dad had a lot of what now the term is called adversities. Like we didn't know it back then, right? From him not growing up the entire time in the household with his mom, from him growing up in a situation where there was poverty, from having traumatic experiences as a young man himself, he in turn made it with my mom, who had a childhood that she would like to forget about, right? So those two came together and they created me. They created me, and her ultimate goal, from what I know about my mom and from what I know about the experiences that she went through, her number one goal was to give her children a better life than the one she had experienced, right?
Right.
And she tried her best, right? But again, absence of like an understanding of what we now know today is like, if these things happen in this order to children, this is the outcome you can look forward to. Unless, of course, some, you know, some divine interventions happen along the way. And luckily for me, blessed for me, there were some divine interventions that happened along the way. So, you know, although my adversity started before conception, they have followed me up until this point where I was like, oh my gosh, there's an answer. ACEs matter.
So it's kind of an aha moment in life.
It was a super aha moment for me. Yeah. I wish I could give it to everybody. Like, it was a super aha moment for me. It allowed me to start forgiving myself.
Oh, we're going to get into that. That's a key word. What does ACEs, if we have new listeners, because we have new listeners every week, and our older listeners know what it is, but from your point of view, from your education, from your perspective, what's ACEs mean to you? Why would you want to build a foundation about this term that I didn't even know the word 3 years ago? What does ACEs mean to you?
Well, if I could, if you would allow me, the way I would explain it to the people that I grew up with, it would sound something like, ACEs are those things that we thought were cool Like, if we get into this, like, pretending that we're going to sell this crack cocaine or let's go jump on any girls that said something wrong to you. So if I could explain it to the people that I grew up with, it's like aces are the things that we thought were cool, but then later on in life we learned, like, actually it wasn't cool to be doing that around kids whose brains were trying to understand the meaning of life.
Yeah.
If I was asked to explain it to my middle school kids when I was a principal, I would say loud and clear, aces are these things in this role. If you see or hear or experience of these things, please do not think you are being a snitch by coming and telling somebody. Because by keeping it to yourself or like not snitching on said uncle, said aunt, said situation, you are unfortunately carrying on the cycle of it's okay to do these things as long as we don't tell anybody about them. So I would explain it to that way if I was still with my middle school kids. And I think with the hybrid audience that I have now, it's like I would say aces are the things you need to ask more questions about. If you don't get it the first...
Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say for the hybrid community that I have following me today, it's like if you hear the word aces or adverse child experience or any combination of both, my ultimate wish would be you just start to ask more questions. It starts there. Like I realized that I stopped asking questions along the way, and that's kind of where I got lost. I just started going with the flow.
Do you feel that now that we've gone through as a world, as a community, with political unrest and racial unrest and economic unrest and pandemics and all, do you believe there's anybody in our world that doesn't have an ace?
You know what? I can. The science says what, one in six have at least one. I think if I got that right. Yeah, I'm sorry, I haven't memorized that, but I believe. My partner that I'm with to this day, he took the test and it says zero.
And he is so
I live with him. I know he got one or two. We just went in his test. I swear he's not listening to this right now, but I live with you. So they just need to ask some more questions, because I guarantee you, even though it's 0 out of 10 on that one, something happened. I can tell by the way you talk to me sometimes. So I always joke with him. So, I do believe that there is not one person on this earth in this day that we're currently living in that had a perfect parent.
Yeah.
Like a perfect fleshly, like, parent that went to the hospital or whatever, delivered you in the car, wherever you came, right? Obviously, like, you know, I'm a believer and I believe, like, you know, God, you know, gives us life, breath, whatever, right? But I don't believe that there's any person on this earth that has had a perfect childhood.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. And I know I was one that did not, for sure. But I think right now ACEs is something that everybody needs to learn about and study about and get involved with and discover. And I do hope that as they're working on that research, they add several more questions. And they're working on that. That includes bullying, racism, poverty, things of that order, instead of just like neglect, some that are standard. But I hope they expand it, because the world has become more traumatic. On the other side of our first break, Cindy, I really want to, before we tell the world about what you do and how you do it and what you really want your platform to do, I want to find out why this means so much to you. So if you will allow, we'll pull out the scalpel and we're going to cut into your heart and see if we can get a story or two of why is ACEs something you're passionate about now. So we'll get more about that just on the other side of this. If you want to get involved tonight, 888-627-6008, I would love to have you have a comment or a question. Just call in and say howdy, whatever you want to. But call somebody and let them know that Cindy's on the line and she's got some information she's going to share with the world right after this first commercial break. We'll be right back. finally coming very soon will be the release of my second book in the three-part trilogy, Overcoming the Darkness, The Roadmap to Hope. Now, this book will be an in-depth look at the many different facets and emotions that a person goes through when they're experiencing anxiety and trauma in their life, and they're simply searching for hope. And an exciting addition to this book will be a companion journal guide that will come along with it. Also, there's going to be something that I'm very excited about, the youth version of this book called When Dark Clouds Come, The Roadmap to Hope. And it's going to be an excellent tool and guide for teenagers dealing with stress in their lives. So stay tuned for the release date coming very, very soon for these exciting new resources. Now back to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams on the VBS Radio Network. All right, welcome back, and we appreciate you being here. 888-627-6008. It looks like by Facebook we had a little bit of technical difficulties, but it looks like we are up and running and everything's going good now. If you want to jump on there, you're welcome to. And we would love to hear from you with a question or a comment. Somebody's know something about Cindy that you want me to know, give us a call and tell me about it.
Yeah. Oh, you set me up. You just set me up, Doctor.
I tell you what, you know, I was on your program the other day, and just I love the format. It was just kind of similar to this, really laid back, very comfortable, and I like that. No preset questions, and we just had a good conversation. The reason we came up with the title, Breaking the Silence, is I really think that when we experience something in life, and you tell me what you think about this in your own personal life, and when we experience negativity or trauma, then it's our responsibility that when we discover that, to turn that negative into a positive and try to help other people. Is that some of what your life is about? And could we find out a little bit more about that area?
My first response, Greg, is like, yeah, hands down, 100%. Like, in my class that I'm taking, ACE Overcomers, one of the things that the teacher tells us is that we should not define ourselves by the sins of our past, right? And, you know, obviously when we're children, we don't really know what a sin is, right? We kind of like learn right from wrong, our parents' way of no. But once we do have that understanding, like, I think this idea of talking about ACEs is, A, first to say, like, it does not have to become you. It, like, might have happened to you, but it does not have to become you. Once you have become aware of, like, hey, these things happen that might not have been so politically correct or just right by God, like, I should probably talk to somebody about this, you know, whether it's through therapy, social media, or whatever. Like, I think my purpose for it is like letting people know, like, if any of these said current 10 questions happen to you, right? Because like they're only into the first 10 because they kind of fell in this research by accident, I would say talk about it, right? In whatever space that you feel safe talking about it, like, bring it up, because like it's super important, because like we know now that we should be talking about this more so that the next generation doesn't have to say like, oh, well, we should just keep it in the family, or like not say nothing else about it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, of course, I'm a generation ahead of you, being in the 60s and being born in the 60s. And that generation was even more hush hush.
Yeah.
What happens in this home, it does not leave this home. And you would never dream of sharing that.
Yeah.
And different cultures have different mindsets. I mean, you go into the Indian reservation and try to get them to even admit there's problems, you're not going to get anything out of that. You have to be there for a long time for them to even trust you with the story of any negativity. And I was just wondering, how has ACEs affected you now that you are an adult and you look back on your childhood? And what's some of the things that you've carried for years, and now you're starting to understand it's all right to let that loose. It's all right to talk about that. It's all right to use that to help other people.
I think this ties back to the day that I was born. Is, you know, like I said, I was, you know, I was born into this whole ace unidentified term back then, right? And I would say to question number one, how has ACEs affected me? Is I had this mentality that I would leave my situation, and if I ever should bear children, I would never, ever let my child go through what I went through. And in so many words, Greg, I succeeded. I was able to provide my child the basic necessities. So physical neglect was not an issue for me. However, there were a lot of ACEs that I was unaware of that I unintentionally inflicted on my child. And one that has stuck out the most that has affected me as an adult in the form of shame and guilt as a parent is I did not know how to provide emotional support to my daughter. I did not know how to give her the emotional support that she needed in the environment that I had placed her in. So although I was able to give her a room of her own, put her in the best schools, check on her homework when she came home every day, ask her, how was your day, but then not really listen, I did not realize that by me as an adult not having that emotional connection as a child would then be passed down to my daughter.
Okay, so you're hitting a heartstring, because I have a feeling I probably did the same thing with my kids. And my son may be coming on here in a minute and telling me, yeah, Dad, you messed up. Because there was an emotional disconnect. Mm-hmm. Why was it in your life? Was it because you didn't receive that from your mom and dad? Or was it just the atmosphere and the environment around you?
I have a new understanding of what emotions are, right? Like, the best way I can describe it is that we were reared in a tough love environment, right? Shake it off. You're going to be all right. Shake it off, you know? The first time my body was ever violated, in so many words, I was asked to, like, shake it off, right? And I had to make eye contact with that same person that tried to violate my body, you know, because that person didn't really mean it, right, that way. So I think our lack or misunderstanding of what it means to help a child process an event was missing. And so how that affected me as a parent was that when my daughter was going through those rocky moments, even though I was able to protect her from a few of the ACEs that, you know, I wasn't protected from, I didn't know how to respond. So the guilt that has carried with me as a parent was when she went through her moments of thinking that she had had enough with life, if you know what I mean, in Houston, Texas. She had had enough with life, and she was like, I'm out. I'll see y'all in the next life if there's one, right? I didn't know how to respond to that because I understood a depressed person to be crazy. And I wanted my, let me see what age she was the first time she tried to do it. She might have been in eighth grade the first time she tried to take her life. I wanted my eighth grader to tell me, what are you depressed about? You have food, you got clothes, you got somewhere to sleep. So what are you depressed about? I'm confused. Like, I'm busting my butt. And so then I started passing on guilt to her, right? Yeah. You have no reason to be depressed because I'm working as late as the janitor. and you want to come home talking about you depressed. So show me some love before you over here. And so I did not know the science of what a 12, 13-year-old needed at the time. So I accidentally made her feel bad about taking her own life or trying to take her own life. And my first response to her the second time she tried to take her own life a couple years later was, do you know how much this is going to cost me? And the guilt that I carry now that I'm even aware that I said those things to her, oh, I want to take my own life at some point. Like, I just feel bad that I did that to her, you know? But it was just because I didn't know. And so God's grace allowed me to stay alive long enough to realize, like, I can make amends with that shame and that guilt that I had been feeling for so long.
What do you think it is that causes parents to have that disconnect? I know what it was in my life, and this show is not about me tonight, but what do you think it is that causes them to have that response of saying, wait, do you know what my friends are going to think about this? Do you know I have to get up early in the morning to go to work? You know what this is going to cost me? And instead of being immersed in their world and step in their shoes to see what they are experiencing, instead of what you're doing is causing me to feel this way, which is totally backwards. But I did that too as a parent. What do you think causes that? What triggers that in parents?
I think it's two things with my intermediate understanding. I think it's two things. The first thing is knowledge, right? Like, you can't be what you can't see, right? Like, I'm going to give the parenting to you that was given to me, but I'm going to put some sprinkles on top of it. I'm going to make it a little bit better than my experience. So I think it goes back to a lack of knowledge, understanding, wisdom, however you want to bucket those, because I honestly can't tell you in the beginning when I was pregnant, like how many, I didn't pick up many parenting books. I just thought I would just, you know, pass down what I knew. I got this. I can figure this out. So I would say knowledge. And then sadly, I think even when we become aware of the knowledge, I think pride gets in the way. It's the P word. It's pride. I think pride gets in the way. At least that was what it was for me. Because even when I had friends telling me, like, hey, is your daughter okay? She's posted some stuff on some cryptic messages on social media. Oh, it's just her. She just being a brat, you know? And I would brush it off. And, like, she's literally a couple of doors away from me doing this. And I'm like, why didn't you just come talk to me? Why would you take it to Instagram? I'm right here, you know? And so for me, it was more pride. You're trying to embarrass me, right? Yeah. I'm going to delete your social media account. And I had all the answers. And I never took it to God. Like, I didn't know that God wanted a part of this mess. So I think the lack of knowledge is the first thing. And I think the pride gets in the way of our progress, even when we do become aware of it.
Well, which those were two of the three original temptations or sins in the Bible. So times haven't changed.
Times haven't changed.
We've fallen for pride is a a very major factor, I'm sure. How has adverse childhood experiences attacked your family tree, attacked people in your family? How has it affected? And I really want you to, when you answer it, realize there's people sitting on the edge of their chairs and not understanding what's going on around them in their own family dynamic, when this could be the scales that are falling off their eyes.
Okay. The first time that when I started studying ACEs and like was starting to put the puzzle pieces together, the first time I realized that adverse childhood experiences started taking shape was when my oldest brother passed away on July 5th, 1993. Now, I think this is important, obviously, because remember I told you on the elevator, if I had just waited, I'd have been a 7777 baby. But for whatever, my stubbornness brought me out on 76. So the way God coupled this was 15 years from my birth, God would take my brother from this earth. Well, my brother would leave this earth. I'm not going to say God took him, but my brother would leave his earth to go on to his next thing in life. He was taken on July 5th, 1993, a day before my 16th birthday. And he was taken by the hands of a young man who was also afflicted with ACEs, by gun violence, right? So my brother left the earth in July 5th of 1993. Prior to that, his father, the one we share the same name on the birth certificate, was also taken away from the earth by gun violence. 2 years later, 1995, the year we were to graduate, one of the ACE questions asked you, has anybody in your household ever gone to prison or jail or something along those lines, right?
Partially.
Yes. If I had to answer that question, it would be a solid yes. I watched the helicopters surround my grandmother's house, all kind of undercover cops, SWAT team. I swear they were coming after ISIS. They came to our house to pick up a 20-year-old male who was my cousin, who we grew up with, for a crime that involved gun violence. and he was taken away my senior year in high school. So first time, you know, my brother passed away when I, right before I turned 16. 2 years later, my cousin, and mind you, we've only got four men in our family of 16 grandchildren. And now so far, we've lost two of the only four boys that are a part of this. So that happened in the 90s. 2000s, my stepbrother, same thing. He was taken away from the streets by gun violence in this same exact zip code that took my brother, that picked up my cousin off the porch of my grandmother's house. And then in the 2000s, my stepbrother, who we grew up with, that same zip code was the cause of his early demise in his 20s. We kind of took a break, you know, like gun violence was kind of quiet a little bit. And then this time, 2018, gun violence showed up again in our zip code, and this time it took the nephew of my brother, my brother's first son, was now also taken by the streets to gun violence. So it's becoming a chain reaction. So my brother's dad, my brother, his brother, my cousin, and now his son. And then I think the thing that was the biggest shocker in 2019 for our family is that at some little hole in the wall club in the same zip code where we grew up, my youngest brother decided to use, you know, or for whatever reason, like gun violence was the only way to get him out of a situation that he was in. And unfortunately, he took the life of my first cousin. So we have family members who are now killing each other or at each other, you know, for pride reasons, right? And so for me, I was like, something's got to give. Like, everybody's dying by gun violence, and everybody's becoming a RIH on social media, rest in heaven or rest in peace. And I think there's got to be, we are not asking enough questions.
Wow. As a 16-year-old, almost a 16-year-old, and then this progressive dominoes falling and tipping in the direction of gun violence in your family, how does that affect a young teenage girl? How does that affect you, Cindy?
I think at that age, I wasn't affected because it was normalized, right? Like, you live by the gun, you die by the gun. Like, that's kind of how we grew up understanding. I knew my brother was in the streets, right? Like, I've seen my brother leave the house getting ready to go have a conversation with the streets. So we grew up with this mentality that you live by the gun, you die by the gun. So for me, it wasn't a surprise. It was disheartening that my keeper, right? Like, I never had to worry about anybody messing with me because I always had my older brother who was just like fearless in the streets. Like, nobody messed with our family because my brother and his father, like, they just had this reputation where you can mess with anybody you want to, but don't mess with the Alexanders or the Stanfords, right? Because blah, blah, blah. So I think I lost my safety net at that point. But I knew I still had the namesake that was going to protect me. So as a 16-year-old, it was hard to process, but I think I had become so emotionally numb, Greg, that I was able to go dress my brother at the funeral home as a 16-year-old. Me and my uncle, I cannot get that imagery out of my head. I dressed my dead brother at the funeral, O.C. Carey's funeral home, and I had a conversation with his carcass, you know, like right there in front of me, and I watched him be put in a casket at 16 years old. And for me, I had no emotion. I disassociated it. Yeah. I just knew he needed to be take care of, and I knew he needed to look good before everybody else came to see him.
Wow. Did it toughen you? Did you have that?
Yeah, it did. It did. I kind of wish I could be more pink, if you will. I'm a female. I kind of wish I could be more pink, but I do think that lifestyle made me a lot more blue than pink, if you will. Like, I can handle anything. You know, I dressed a dead body, and it was my brother. I can handle anything, right? So I think it probably made it harden me a lot more than a child at that age should be hardened. So obviously, you know, it followed me.
Wow. Tell you what, if you want to get involved in the conversation tonight, it's 888-627-6008. I'm looking down. We are getting some comments on Facebook. Feel free to do that on Shattered by the Darkness Facebook page if you want to comment. Then Curtis can let me know if there's any questions on there a little bit later. We're going to take our last commercial break. We'd love to have you join the conversation. And think on the other side of this, I want to dig a little deeper in why you feel now that maybe, and maybe you don't feel this way, that ACEs and teaching people, opening this unbelievable research and the importance of this to the world and the people around you and your platform, why is that so important to you?
Gotcha.
And how are you hoping it's going to change people's lives? We'll be right back after this last commercial break. Join the conversation, 888-627-6008. We'll be right back.
From HCI Publishing, that brought you the international bestsellers, A Child Called It, and the Chicken Soup for the Soul series, comes the latest book by Dr. Gregory Williams, Shattered by the Darkness. This book describes the horrific abuse that Dr. Williams suffered at the hands of his father for over 12 years, and the damaging effect of keeping everything silent about that abuse for 30 years. If you're looking for that book that you can't put down, then pick up a copy of Shattered by the Darkness by Dr. Gregory Williams at all Barnes & Noble stores, Amazon, and Books A Million. Now, back to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams.
All right, welcome back to Houston, Texas, and it's beginning to look a lot
like
Christmas out there. Well, the weather outside
is frightening.
But there's not a car on the streets. Everybody is in their houses and boarded up. I tell you what. Welcome back, and we have Cindy Stanford. She is the president of ACEs Matter, and you've been doing this for what, about a year and a half, something like that.
I founded the company in May of 2020.
Okay, so we're not even quite a year.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Why has this become something that you would create a company on? What motivated you when 6 out of 10 people and have been traumatized and all these things, and so many people that's involved in it? Why do you say, hey, I want to do a foundation, a company, I want to make a difference. I want something to live on, to help change people.
Are you familiar with some of the platforms like BetterHelp, Talkspace, like some of these online platforms that have come around to like help people, you know, talk about, okay, so right. They have stormed the internet, if you will, and like trying to get people the help that they need. And so they came to mind because I'm thinking, like, I saw those two companies evolve, and all of a sudden it's like, now pick up the phone or an app and you immediately have somebody to talk to about in regards to something you may be experiencing, right? So I was like, wow, it's a solution. But then, Greg, whether it's my social media timelines or my work environments, I said, that marketing is not getting to everybody. And I'm saying this in the most friendliest way possible. Like, there's so many platforms out there that are trying to help people, but for whatever reason, it's not getting to everybody. So I figured that if I could switch it up a little bit and invite a different type of audience, then maybe we'll get different type of people to come listen. Because for me, my healing started because there was somebody who took me under my wing and took me out of that zip code where I experienced my ACEs. But that was only one person. That one person only has so much to give, right? So So what about all the people that didn't get that one person that I got, that relationship? So I felt like if I did this, we could start this by first making it okay to talk about it in this way, right? Please don't let education scare you from talking about your experience. Please don't let your experience scare you from talking about your experience, right? Please, if nothing else, tell us what happened before you pass. Do not take it to your grave, right? We'll figure out what to do with it, right? Maybe you didn't have the courage to put it out there, but we'll figure out what to do with it. So I felt like if we can build a platform that accepted people as they are in their walk, we could close up a little gap of what's missing in terms of like getting people to this place to try to understand like why things are the way they are. So a combination of my social media timelines and my work experience, it somebody's not paying attention to all this marketing that's saying that, hey, come here and we'll help you understand why you treat people that way or why people treat you that way.
So are you wanting to become, because in the research of ACEs, it'll do this kind of damage to you if you have so many ACEs in the absence of an adult buffer. It uses that line all the time. In the absence of an adult buffer, it can take 10 years off your life. In the absence of an adult buffer, it can have this kind of impact and cause heart disease, diabetes, stroke, and all these different health things and emotional problems and mental health issues. Are you wanting to be a platform that can actually step in to say, hey, I'm not just one person. I am a community of people that want to gather together once a week, and then we can branch off and have that connection with people to be that buffer that can allow them to open that closet that they never thought they would open in their life, and it's caused them the damage inside?
I would like to be a part of the buffers that already exist, right? There's plenty of, yeah.
Let me tell you something. The other night when I was on the show with you and your guest, I came to a realization that I need to open up the last two closets that I have never told about. Your work, when I was supposed to just be a guest and share my knowledge, something was said, and I don't even know who said it. I'll go back and watch it sometime. I don't like to watch my interviews because I go like, oh boy, I need to lose weight, or I need to comb my hair different, I need to color my hair or something. But you're doing the work already.
Yeah.
And it made an impact on me, and I told a whole bunch of people this morning that I'm getting ready to reveal the things that I never have yet, and I clearly make in the book that I don't think I will ever reveal because it's too horrific. But the zone that you guys were in that night and that I was in there with you made a difference, and it impacted me. And when we shut off and I went and sat back in my recliner, that's my recliner and my bed, I went and sat back there and go, wait, I didn't share anything tonight, but boy, I sure soaked it in. And I thank you for that. So thank you for doing that. So you got the platform. Is that what you want?
Well, you got your presence on the show a couple weeks ago has the most fans to date. Now I've only got 800 and something friends. I think I probably have well over 40 something waiting for my friend acceptance. So I'm very particular about who I accept on my friend thing. So, but I will say your show has the most spin so far in terms of views, like sustained views. Like it's one thing for people to click on, stay a couple minutes, but the show you came on with the information you gave, I still have text messages that have come through even as of last week talking about how profound you being on the show and sharing, like, oh my goodness, it was somebody right in your household doing that to you. And so I think by not only you being of a different race than us, mainly I'm hybrid, right? I've got people from different backgrounds on my show, but by you being of a different race and saying like, hey, it happened to me, I think it helps people understand like ACEs don't care what color you are. They don't care how much money you make, right? Genesis 8:21 was a verse that came to me this morning, Greg. And the second to the last line says, the intention of a man's heart is evil from his youth.
Genesis 8:21.
So God said he will never like come and like take, wash away the world and start over again like he had done before, because whatever Adam was doing in that moment or whatever was happening in that moment, it made God say that, wow, I think God had an aha moment. Lord, forgive me if I'm saying this wrong, but maybe he had an aha moment and he said, I will never do again what I did before to start over, because he in that moment realized the intention of man's heart is evil from his youth. Adverse childhood experiences is all about what is indoctrinated into us, what is exposed to us in our youth, because what is exposed to us in our youth is who we become unless there is a buffer.
You said it. You said it. That's the whole
story. It's in the first book of the Bible. You ain't got to go past chapter 8:21. You don't have to even go past there if you just whatever. You stop right there. And that is the parenting book. And I wasn't aware of that when I bore a child in 2000. And I'm sure my mom probably wasn't hyper aware of that when she had three of us. But now I think, like, knowing that loud and clear, it was being spoke to us in that way. My platform is a way to say, you are forgiven. Please welcome that aha moment, you know?
Yeah. And receive it.
And receive it.
Because shame and guilt will destroy you, and it's baggage that you don't need to be carrying with you.
And even the airlines start charging for baggage, right? Southwest is the only one that'll say the first two bags fly free. But even Southwest says after that, you got to pay. And it's like $75. And if your baggage is over 50 pounds, it's even more than that. So yeah. Baggage, why carry it? Do it overnight. Do it overnight. Sit with it. Get it over with and carry on, you know?
Yeah, I think the program, your program, gives a perfect avenue, vehicle, funnel for people to come on, listen, and then get involved and then implement. And that's what my goal is. All I want to do is change one life tonight. All I want to do is get your life to be out on the airwaves and the internet waves to be able to say, hey, she did it. I can too. Right. And if not, it's going to damage me. And that's what I'm passionate about the rest of my life. If people want to get in touch with you, because we're winding down, we only got a couple minutes left, how do they get in touch with this program? How can they listen in, first of all, then how can they get in contact with you through your organization?
Thank you. I would first encourage people to follow the hashtag Aces Matter. I try to like hold that space in the online world by putting Aces Matter, but we are on Facebook as Aces Matter. The website is acesmatter.com. It is a work in progress. And I would say the other thing is, if you have a story that you are willing to share, similar to like how you and I evolved, like, please come. You know, if you have a gift that you would like to volunteer, maybe you're not ready to tell your story. Like, I think I mentioned this on the show that you were on. For every A story told, could be an A story prevented. And I really, really believe that. I really, really believe that for every A story told, we might just prevent another one from happening. We can shift what's happening in humanity. So acesmatter.com is obviously the place to go. All the social media handles are on there. As our parents used to say, my eyes are bigger than my stomach. Like, the dreams I have for Aces Matter are bigger than my budget, but it's coming, right? Like, I know that it's happening. And so I do want people to follow us on social media, sign up to get the newsletters if you want to keep in touch with what we're going to do next. But most importantly, follow us on social media, because that's where all the updates are happening.
That's fantastic. And I know you're making an impact. I know I've received lots of feedback through the Aces Connection and a couple of the other sites that we planted that you were going to be on the program. Rebecca is going to be on the program, I think, in the middle of March.
Yes.
And so I double booked her a couple weeks from now, and I made the mistake. But she's going to be back in the middle of March. I guess she's doing her own podcast, too, or getting ready to.
Yeah.
That's what we need to do. Instead of ignoring it and pretend it isn't happening and I can handle my life on my own, when we open up that to the world, we make a difference.
We make a difference.
You are making a difference and an impact to more people than you'll ever know. And I appreciate you being on tonight.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me.
Anytime I can do anything for you all, let me know. And I would love to be back on the program. And you're welcome back here anytime, Cindy.
Awesome. Okay. Virtual high five.
Come back and we'll have a snowball fight.
I'll meet you in Florida.
Enjoy Florida. Enjoy the warm.
Thank you.
We always do every week. We always like to end the program, first of all, just saying thank you for the guest, for Cindy, for being here, and the impact that you're making, for deciding that your life is going to make a difference in one other person's life. And you found the platform, Cindy, and I applaud you and thank you and keep up the good work. Folks, if you're interested in helping Cindy out in their organization, the foundation, and everything that she's involved with, get on ACES Matter right now. And I know it will be worth your time. And let her know what you think about the program tonight. We want to always end the program each week, no matter what you're going through, no matter what's happened to you, no matter what you have to deal with tonight or tomorrow, I want to let you know there's always hope. There's always, always hope. As long as there's breath left in you, there's hope. Reach for it and reach out and tell somebody what you need and how your life can be changed if you do. Thank you for joining us. Be here next week for another edition, live from Houston, Texas, for another edition of Breaking the Silence. God bless. Have an awesome week. Stay safe.
Thank you for listening to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. To contact Dr. Williams, dial 832-396-6525 or email him at shatteredbythedarkness@gmail.com. And don't forget to join us each Sunday night at 8 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Pacific on BBS Radio Station 1. For the next episode of Breaking the Silence.